lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, episode number 200.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah. 200 episodes of songwriting goodness.
How did they do it?
This is the show with songwriters screaming to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting, yelling at them. Brand new songwriters or established professionals, anything in between. Together, the idea is we share tips and techniques and things we figured out along the way. And the goal is that we all learn at least five new things each and every show on how to become better songwriters. Don't forget, you can always find us here live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on CJRU 1280 a.m. here in Toronto. Or you can listen to the live stream at songtalk.ca if you can't get to the radio. There's a button on the front page, and it works wonderfully. Tonight, I will be your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight, as always, are the very dedicated members of the Song Talk Radio team. We have
Neil Modi. Happy 200.
Yes, and Mr.
Bruce Harrit. Did you forget our names or something?
No, I'm trying something new.
Trying something new, yeah.
And, of course,
a pointing stick.
Who
a pointing
else is
stick.
Here?
And taking care of all the social media, tweeting and video and all that stuff is Vanessa Reland.
Oh, hi, I'm Vanessa. Person, yes. Say her name.
And, of course, the person on the board, Anthony. Ooh. Young Anthony.
What's up? Hello.
Hello.
Okay. That's not your name. Your name's
He's just
Anthony.
So sharp.
I'm under witness protection. So.
During the show, please join in the conversation and send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, and we will share them with the audience in real time, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out if you can be a guest on our show and browse past shows and buy stuff. So this is a show... all of it. It's going to be one of our theme shows, and this one's all going to be about talk singing. And it's an interesting thing. So it's not rap. No. Rap is a very specific thing.
Yes.
It's not William Shatner.
It's not William Shatner. And it's not, because some people actually will just do sort of a straight kind of dramatic reading.
And it's not spoken word.
And it's not spoken word. So really what it is, it's a very subtle technique, and it's about a way of delivering a lyric and speaking it in a way that is kind of like singing it, but you're not actually hitting notes. So we've done we have a number of songs we've kind of put together, and this is a technique I've tried to play with over the years fairly unsuccessfully, because it is kind of a tough thing to do, but especially if maybe you're not a gifted vocalist, this could be a way of approaching handling songs, because I think some of these people have done interesting things.
Yeah, but Phil, are they really not singing on a note? Because they're speaking on a note? Because I think they are speaking on a note, because if you speak on a note that isn't in the chord, it's going to sound really weird.
Well, that's a good point.
Have a listen.
The differences for me are that, like, they may be speaking on a note, but there's not a lot of melodic variation.
There's no sustain.
There's certainly no sustain.
No sustain,
and there's
right.
no legato. And there's no...
There
are musical
is.
Elements without there being a lot
there
of...
There is legato, though. And I think the first one we're going to listen to is... will be Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, and this was, of course, Sultans of Swing, and it was a huge hit for them.
This is the band that was the first band to sell 1 million CDs when CD technology came out.
Oh, okay.
The actual plastic thingy that you'll need. Remember when those came out?
Yes, yes.
A million.
Wow.
Yeah. First one to do it.
And what album was that?
This one with this one? Sultans of Swing on it.
Yeah. The Money for Nothing and all that stuff.
Yeah,
the big one, yeah. Should I read the description?
Yes.
Well, let's go back to a classical form, which came from German. Is it called Lieder? Is that it? That's songs? No.
There's two different but similar styles. So there's Sprechstimme, which means it's from the German Sprecher, which means to speak, and Stimme, which means voice. So speaking voice. Nope.
Okay.
Spoken voice, spoken sorry. Voice. Okay. And then there's Sprechgesang, which is German for Sprecher, means to speak, and Gesang means song. So spoken singing.
That's more likely.
So they can be used interchangeably, but the difference is Sprechstimme is a form of dramatic declaration between singing and speaking in which the speaker uses lilt and rhythm but not precise pitches. And then Sprechgesang is a vocal style intermediate between speech and singing but without exact pitch intonation.
What does lilt mean?
Like, yeah. When your voice kind of goes
you're
up.
Talking like that, and you go like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's a melodic, the speaking voice is melodic anyway, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're a middle-aged white Canadian male in which you talk almost in a monotone and it drives people crazy.
That's so true, because on the radio, you have to say
variation
with lots
on the radio,
of,
right?
Lots of variation in pitch.
Well, I work
because
with,
I help
business people with their public speaking, right? And sometimes I've gotten people who have said, good morning, it's really exciting to be here this morning and that you're all here, and I want to tell you how excited I am.
Yeah.
I said, well, I need to hear that in your voice. Well, you just heard it in my voice. That's as much as I can do. That's it. So I asked them then to just raise an eyebrow, and that usually helps.
Yes.
And then,
So Sprechgesang is directly related to the operatic recitative manner of singing in which pitches are sung, but the articulation is rapid and loose like speech is, whereas Sprechstimme is closer to speech itself, but it does not emphasize any particular pitches.
Okay, which I think would be, that's sort of the, I think probably what we're talking about. That's what most of these songs are like. So the Dire Straits one,
I'm curious to hear the legato in this now.
Yes. This is was released on October 7th, 1978. Sultans of Swing reached number 44 in the Billboard Hot 100 chart and number 8 on the UK Singles chart. And the album reached number 1 in album charts in Germany, Australia, and France, number 2 in the United States, number 5 in the United Kingdom. Dire Straits was later certified double platinum in both the United States and the United Kingdom.
So this isn't the same album as Money for Nothing, then?
No, that's a later one.
That was a subsequent album? Or?
Yeah, that was a later one. This was like their first big hit, and it's a really interesting approach. So let's play Sultans of Swings by Dire Straits.
It's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you're stopping, you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you too many faces coming in out of the rain. They hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south. Guitar George, he knows all the chords. Mighty strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. His dad and old guitar is all he can afford. When he gets up under the lights, play his thing. He
Friday night. With the Sultans, with the Sultans of Swing. Yeah. And a crowd of young boys, they're fooling around in the corner, drunk and dressed in their best brown baggies in their platform soles.
Hey, that was Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits, 1978. So it's an interesting thing because he does, I think he does hit the odd note, but he's actually not really, like when you've listened to the song a whole bunch of times, you realize the music behind you makes you think that he is hitting notes, but he actually really isn't. He's quite good, the way he handles
but
it.
But if he's not hitting notes, then what is he hitting?
Well, he's
every word has a note. Spoken language has notation, right?
It does.
Like, if you just tracked what I'm saying right now, you could put it on a scale, you know, because I'm hitting different notes.
Yes.
The thing is, when you speak, sing, it's an art because you have to...
Speak on the chord.
Intuitively or whatever, stay within the key. Because if your voice starts to say things that are way out of the key, it's just not going to go. Because it's a real talent. I've always maintained that Mick Jagger's not a singer either. That he does exactly this. He speaks
interesting
on the notes.
Hmm.
He does. You listen to him. Brown sugar. That's all he does. I bet you. He doesn't sustain notes. He just shouts it. And he's brilliant at it, right?
So is it not sung unless it's sustained?
You'd have to talk to a musicologist for that. I mean, that's just splitting hairs. I think the thing is, that, but this style is quite rare, and it's also really was hugely popular.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was doing something there. Nobody ever said this guy was the best singer in the world, probably.
No, certainly
but they
not.
Probably, the, but the whole feel of it.
Yeah.
Like, listen to Billy Joel. He sings. Elton John,
he's a singer.
He sings,
of course,
right?
Of course.
This guy is doing this Sprechenschein.
And of course, the interesting thing is that the music is really what carries this song.
Like
you remember the riff. When you think of Sultans of Swing, even when you think of Money for Nothing, you think of the riff. You don't really think of the vocals, per se.
Even but it's like the way he's like, Guitar George, he knows all the chords. It sounds like it's a simple thing to do, but it's actually quite of a challenge. So...
we'll have to try that live in the studio sometime.
It's a fun thing. It's something I tried a lot, but it is hard. So the next one we're going to do is from one of my favorite bands of all time. It is by a band called Wall of Voodoo. They're out of Barstow, California.
Oh, yeah, they're cool.
And, of course, they've broken up long ago, and it's Stan Ridgway, who I met once and made a fool of myself in front of.
Oh, no.
He was my hero.
That's how it has to happen, though.
Yes, and he's like the one most down-to-earth, wonderful guy, and I tried to be funny, and I think he just thought I was on speed. but this also features one of my favorite guitarists, Mark Moreland, who's passed away, unfortunately. And this one's called Tomorrow, and Stan Ridgway basically does almost all this kind of talk speaking. Uh-huh. And
what should we listen for?
Well, listen to the way he handles his notes and the way he handles the delivery.
Okay.
But, of course, with talk singing, you have to be able to hear every word, and you can definitely hear every word of his delivery.
So are all the Wall of Voodoo songs this sort of talk singing?
Pretty well. Yeah. But it's they have a lot of variety, so let's take a listen to Tomorrow by Wall of Voodoo.
Like a pretty good idea to me. Life is moving faster. I can feel it every day. I've got trouble keeping up with what other people say. Big problems in the world. My life's just a social swirl. But I'll do it tomorrow. That seems like a pretty good idea.
What's wrong with tomorrow? I'm watching him and he's watching me. Out my window there's nothing where the city used to be. Online dead, the power gone, there's nothing on TV. Can't understand what happened to all the plans I made. I turn on the radio and hear the signal fade. Pretty loud. But I do it tomorrow.
Life is moving faster. I can feel it every day.
So I'll do it tomorrow. That seems like a pretty good idea to me. What's wrong with tomorrow? I'm watching him and he's watching me.
That was Tomorrow by Wall of Voodoo off their Call of the West album released in 1982. Mm. And interesting, he did little bits of, he did like this talks stream. Yeah, yeah. And then in his chorus, he actually did kind of more singing.
Yeah.
But very, like, there's not a huge change, but just enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then he actually has the one part where he actually just.
Well, even similar with the Dire Straits song, like there are patterns in the melodic shapes.
Yeah.
Mm. Da-da-da-da. You know, that sort of thing just kind of reoccurs the same way we would do song melodies.
There's still that. He still has a rhythm, and the rhythm, there's still a very identifiable chorus, verse, and an identifiable chorus.
And of course, there were moments in here where he was full out singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like in the chorus when he was full of singing. But every now and then, like at the end of the lines, you notice, and even Dire Straits would do that. He would do sort of stock singing, and then at the end he would go, nah, nah, nah. He would add some notes at the end of the line.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, of course, the natural speaking voice has melody in it.
Yes.
And so when people say, oh, I can't sing, and I'll say, can you speak? And I go, yep. Then I could show you how to sing.
Yeah.
Because really, singing is just adding breath and sustain to a speaking voice.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a book out, I think, or some talking book or something said, if you can speak, you can sing.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's probably true. It's just a barrier. People think, you know, if you're talking and then you just add some breath to it and some sustain and then you're singing.
Yeah, it's just just because you don't actually exercise.
Or you think it's
voice.
Something different or weird. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a shame. I think that's something that's happened in our society is that at one time, everyone sort of stood around the piano and sang because that's how you had music because there was no records.
Back in the
40s. There was no radio.
Yeah.
30s.
There was no radio. There was no records.
That was good party time.
Yeah, good party time.
Yeah, my parents did that. That would be in the 30s. Every family had a piano and somebody could play it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going off to the mall on a Saturday night, apparently, the teenagers would get, it sounds kind of tame, but the teenagers would get together in somebody's front room around the piano and sing.
Yeah.
Of course, then they'd go out and get drunk after, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, they were teenagers.
So Vanessa was asking something while that song was playing. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the singers or talk singers, is this intentional? Are they intending to do it this way, or is this kind of natural for them?
No, I think it's very intentional.
Yeah.
Because Stan Ridgway can sing. You know, he's a great front man as well.
Mm.
He has a lot of personality. Like you know exactly who he is when he sings.
Mm.
He's also a great songwriter as well. But, I think it is very, very...
style, isn't it?
It's a style. And some people are just... I think some people do that style more naturally than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be really effective. But it's one of those things that's a lot... You know, it's a bit more tricky.
It's interesting too in these days of rap, where you'll have a whole rap tune, or what Macklemore does more often is he'll have a melodic section, often by a different singer,
and then
he'll come in with the rap as a bit of change, and then back to the sung piece. This is somewhere in the middle, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. So what musically? What's the difference with rap? Is it all rhythm and there's no melody whatsoever?
Every vocal piece has a melody. When you speak, you have a melody.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's musically the difference?
That's a good
then?
Question. What do you think, Phil?
I think because I am quite fond of a lot of rap and hip hop, and I think because a lot of it is I think it would actually almost be like drummer notation where there actually isn't notes that they're just
it's just like rhythmic notation.
They're actually almost speaking sort of atonally. But it's very rhythm based, And it's interesting because the style of rap has gone through, you know, really early stuff was like Grandmaster Flash, like, don't push me because I'm cutting, you know, push to, you know, that to one where it's there's like almost like this jazzy sort of kind of, kind of phrasing. But it's not, there's not really the singing. They don't really sort of add those little notes to the end of the lines. Most of them, it's actually
probably every rap style is different. Like, I mean, if you're talking about Eminem, if you listen carefully, you may say, oh, he's rapping in a key naturally. Like, he just naturally hears it. He's a musician, too, right? These are musicians. So they're hearing what the chord base is, and then they're matching the rap to that. Because, again, I think if someone is outside the chord pattern, it's going to sound unusual. Not wrong, but unusual.
Right? Now, is there something in the songwriting sense that if you got a verse, say, that's really, really wordy, and you want to get through it quickly, this is one way to do it? No? I mean,
no, because I think... I mean, if you have a verse that's really, really wordy, then you probably should rewrite your verse.
No, but, well, I mean, often rap can be very wordy, right?
This is, but
you're trying to get a lot of words
but that's
into...
that's intentionally.
Like, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, maybe you're trying to do that.
Well, I guess you could. I mean, there's certainly, there's no... You could try doing that just for a line. I think some of our guests have done that over the time. They've had, like, maybe one line where it's almost kind of talk-sung, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can be very effective, actually, if you do it just before you go into a chorus. You have your da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, and then I'm never, never going to go away, baby, because I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, so, true, absolutely.
Well, there's a related theory here, a related piece of style. So in the songs, the standards that we think of from the 40s, there was often an introductory verse. I've talked about this before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it'd be very limited melodically. So it'd be something like this. Say, one day we walked along the sand and you were on the tee. Then we na 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 da 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 ba da 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 da. Then you'll go into the refrain, like, embrace me, my embraceable you. And it goes suddenly melodic. Well, in a sense, that's kind of like this talk singing, in the sense that when you restrict the range of melody, you have a style there, which is tension.
Yeah.
Tension.
Years ago, I was on the...
Maybe that's why these songs make me tense.
I was on the Muses Muse songwriting forum.
Yeah.
And this one fellow, his artist name was Simple Simon. He was an amateur musician from Australia, if I'm not mistaken. He came up with this really, really clever song called the One Note Song. And it was literally about, I'm singing one note. And he and my note is C, and he just kept on singing... the one note. The chords were changing underneath, but it was sung.
That's neat.
It was sung. I'll have to send it to you guys. Yeah. I didn't want to play it on the radio.
Well, there's the one note samba. Do you know that one? The South American too?
No.
It's cool too. Yeah, I mean, it's an instrumental. It's called the one note samba. But they got that great rhythm going up through the whole song.
The whole song.
It's called the one note samba. It's cool.
Yeah, this guy had verse, chorus, the whole.
We'll bring it in sometime.
That's a pop structure.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. So what a great way of giving yourself a limited palette.
Yeah,
right.
Say like I can only write with one note and then trying to get a whole.
Yeah, and this guy was perfectly capable singer songwriter. His other songs perfectly melodic and everything else. But it was just a little clever experiment that he ran.
Yeah, I think it's easy. As sort of traditional songwriters that we think, you know, like I think some people sort of look down on rap, but actually rap is when you hear a good rap, it's like good jazz. It's very hard to
do. It's very hard to do for sure.
You know, I want to get some rap guys on because they do this stuff live.
Yeah. And sometimes they're improvising.
And they're improvising this live.
Which is really, really
tough. I can't believe. I mean, it takes me, you know, years to write lyrics, so.
Let alone on the fly.
But, what have you been thinking about as you've heard this? Because I think you're not as familiar with.
I mean, it is kind of cool. It is different. It's unique, right? And I don't know. I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, I'm kind of old school in that I like to hear interesting melodies, right? So, I don't know. Like to me, these songs, the music bed sometimes is more interesting to me than the.
Then
the vocal melody as such, right? And I think that's what carries the song. I mean, especially Sultan's a String. I don't know what he's singing about, but that groove is just awesome, right? And the guitar riff is great,
right?
So that's where my brain kind of goes to when I hear songs like this.
The voice is just another instrument.
Is just another instrument.
Yeah, you're not hooked by the lyrics so much.
Yeah, and if anything, if you've got like a really melodic, interesting guitar riff, then maybe having a melodic vocal line would actually they would be fighting each other.
That's interesting.
You know, who knows?
Well, I wonder if it also came from a blues background where you had, you know, sort of like some vocal stuff, and then like a guitar, guitar lick, and then standard stuff, and
It's all different kinds of storytelling, right? And it's interesting. It's interesting. I'd like to try it sometime. I bet you it's harder than I think.
I think for some people it is. You do have to hit when you are speaking. I think there's some people who have voices that hit notes maybe a bit more naturally than others.
Mm. Maybe you find that first and write your song in that key.
Yeah, that's it. Because I know Devo does that, and I always liked his vocal approach.
Yeah, yeah.
But he actually often sings a seventh
over
the root.
Okay.
I believe that Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election because of the pitch that her voice is in. It's in a high soprano voice, and that often it's discordant. Like when you listen to her doing, it's harsh, right?
Mm.
And then it's also almost always in the same kind of range of notes. And I always felt like this woman has millions of dollars behind her. Millions.
Yeah.
Why hasn't someone worked on her voice?
Her vocal thing. Yeah,
because you're listening to this voice and you see this woman. She looks intelligent. She's got a good background. You know, she's capable. But it's like a song. I couldn't listen to it. Couldn't listen to her. Not because she was a woman, but because the way she was speaking. It was nothing to do with her sex. But it tells you that, you know, the voice, the speaking voice, has notes. And that's hitting you in a place where you listen.
Yeah.
Whereas Obama had this great baritone. And the style of a preacher. And you just wanted it. Bill Clinton, too.
And a lot of variety.
And easy to
Bill Clinton had the storyteller feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, when Barack Obama, he had a real specific, very deliberate rhythm.
It's preacher.
To his stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was just a master of it. But talking about people who are a master, why don't Neil tell us something cool?
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Yay!
See the melody? You get the high note, Phil.
Go higher and lower.
Yeah, on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed on songtalk.ca. And tonight we're talking about talk singing.
Yeah, we're sounding like morning AM radio.
Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please tweet in your thoughts to us, Song Talk Radio on Twitter, or via email, feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real talk singing time. And you can find all the links to the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page at songtalk.ca. I wonder if there's a book on talk singing.
Ooh,
probably. Google it.
Or a resource.
Or the resources page.
Yeah. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have on December 12th, veteran songwriter Robert Priest will be joining us.
And poet.
And poet, that's right. Mm-hmm. December 19th is going to be our year-end wrap-up show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Bring your wrapping paper.
Yes, bring your wrapping paper and bring your wrapping songs. And even though that's a year-end wrap-up, we still have one more show left for the holiday season, and that's going to be aired on December the 26th, our holiday special.
That's going to be a great show.
That's going to be tinsel-filled.
Yes.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup, Wednesday, December the 20th, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. That's in the Annex area of Toronto. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca first and find the link to meetup.com.
Mm. All right.
Now, just a note. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay.
Oh, just a note about notes when you're speaking. So just what you were doing there, Neil, was kind of sending up the variation in tone. And the thing is, when I teach public speaking, what you do is you become aware that you have options in terms of where the notes are.
Mm.
You let the content and the emotion and the feeling drive the choices, because they will be natural. So if someone tries to speak in a way that has lots of range, you'll notice that they're doing that because the scales they're going through have nothing to do with the content.
Yeah.
But if you're simply saying, tonight on Song Talk Radio, it's really exciting because we're going to have a guest you've never heard from before. So your voice goes up naturally when you're excited, right?
Yeah.
But if you're talking in a more calm way, you probably
tonight,
just talk
on a very
like
special
this.
Song but Talk Radio.
You don't have to. It's not a technique. It's natural in the voice.
Yeah. Mm.
As long as a person remembers that they have that ability.
That's right.
Because some of the middle-aged men I've worked with, they forget. They think it's macho to speak with no variation in their tone.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too animated sounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be boring either.
I think they thought because of Clint Eastwood was like that. But if you actually listen to Clint Eastwood, he wasn't really monotone.
No.
He was
nobody's monotone except a robot.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Now,
Stephen Hawking,
next song, speaking of robots, the next song we're going to be hearing is by John Fox. John Fox was the original singer and one of the major songwriters of Ultravox. But then left and went off to his own thing, and he released an album called Metamatic in 1980. And this is very, very straight talk singing. And the show is called the song is called Metal Beat, and it's off of Metamatic. And now, John Fox is actually a very, very, very good singer.
Singer.
He's got a very great range and very expressive. But this is his approach to his stuff. So let's take a listen to Metal Beat by John Fox. But that was Metal Beat by John Fox.
Wow.
So, yes. Very, very straight.
Very,
You know?
Straight or strange?
Straight.
Yeah,
strange. Very straight in terms of how he hit those vocals. You know, very,
I almost thought he was running it through like a vocoder, like synthesizing it, but you said he's not.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Well, interesting, because Daft Punk uses a vocoder a lot, and it's very, very musical. So
yes, well, yeah, okay,
yeah. So it's, but
I'm noticing a trend here that the track is very powerful, the rhythm part of it in all these songs.
I was gonna say, like, can you guys think of an instance of singer songwriter with acoustic guitar who's doing talk singing?
Yes,
Tom Waits. I don't know. Bob Dylan.
Yes,
some would
actually
argue.
Because all these tracks are they're very highly produced, and there's like musical instrumentation things going on that are kind
of maybe
cool.
One of our listeners could send us an email saying, a folk artist who does talk singing.
I think probably in the country.
Well, when I Googled it, it came up with Bob Dylan, but it came up with this article that was talking about, like, not such great voices. So it wasn't exactly what I asked for when I was Googling it, but he came up in the article, and I thought, I don't know if he does it, but maybe that's what people perceive him to be doing.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think Dylan was singing. When I think of his early stuff, like, how many years must a man before he found him? That's singing. It may not be pleasant to the ear, but he's singing.
Yeah.
He's,
we had that show a couple of, was it last week?
Unusual Voices.
Unconventional voices.
Yeah.
So, and Dylan certainly falls into that.
So we're looking for that book on talk singing in case you folks out there want to learn how to do this proper.
I think Bob Dylan was very loose. I think his approach and his phrasing was loose.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was talking. But I think he does. I think there's a couple of times he did sort of talk.
Maybe.
I think that going down the bus,
That sort of thing. Yeah, early rap.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's so let's listen to the next one, which is actually Neil brought in.
Yeah,
it's actually one of my favorite bands with one of my favorite guitarists.
Right on.
Who's also passed away.
Oh no!
So apparently, one of the leading causes of death amongst guitarists is me liking them.
Toxic.
It's dangerous.
Rick Wilson.
Who's this? So this is Rock Lobster by the B-52s, and yeah, I mean. I, to be honest, I'm not that, you know, familiar with talk singing songs, but when Phil proposed this show, I thought, hey, B-52s,
yeah,
totally. And
I'm
not
fan?
Sure.
Are you a fan?
I know the hits from the
in the day.
Yeah, the Rock Lobster and Love Shack. That's kind of my.
Do you know what year this came out?
Mid '80s.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Phil, '86 maybe.
Yeah. So it might have been like '79.
Seriously.
So we got a trend going here.
Yeah, it's actually off their first album, and album is a fan. Just a fantastic album. Like, so, there's actually much better songs.
Okay, because I'm not sure about the. I don't even know which member of the band is the singer.
That would be Schneider. Fred Schneider.
Okay. Oh, Fred William Schneider. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so does he do like traditional singing as well?
No.
So this is his thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
This was 1979.
This was 1979. There you go.
And they actually started off as a party band.
Yeah,
and because it's really, really, I mean, it's very danceable and fun and energetic stuff.
Yeah,
but they don't really use a distortion.
No,
And they have they don't have a bass player. They have the keyboardist has
All the Doors.
Yeah, the same kind, basically the same sort of bass keyboard as the Doors did.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So yeah, let's take a listen to "Rock Lobster" by the B-52s. And that was B-52's
Rock Lobster.
Rock Lobster with the brilliant Rick Wilson on guitar.
Yeah. Songwriters Catherine Elizabeth Pearson, Cynthia Leigh Wilson, Frederick Wilson, William Schneider, that's the singer.
Yep.
Julian Keith Strickland and Ricky Helton Wilson.
Yep. The whole gang.
The whole gang wrote this thing together.
Yeah.
And their other song, Neil, what was their big hit?
Love Shack.
Love Shack, right.
Tin that's something Roof.
We also had Planet Claire was another big one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And B-Girls was another one. It's a solid album. I had a lot of hits on this one.
So it's interesting to me to know that he didn't do anything but this talk singing. Like, he wasn't a singer as such.
Not so much.
But he had the girls, so hey.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting. And he has a way of, really delivering a lyric.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this one song called Rome. Which is one off there, Rome, like, if you want to.
Like the city Rome or to roam around?
Rome, to roam around. Okay. It was a B-52, it was a big hit for them.
Yeah.
And it was actually just the two female vocalists. And they're brilliant vocalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting song. And the album is actually really entertaining from beginning to end.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
though, because they actually use a lot of imagination in terms of orchestration. And arrangements,
mm-hmm.
And it's very raw. I mean, they don't have a lot of overdubs. This is basically what they sounded like.
It sounds like a live band.
Yeah.
And again, very interesting musical bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Because you don't have a lot of melody in the vocals, so you know you got those organ riffs, you got the bass line, you got the groove, you got the guitar.
They probably
parts,
knew that everything. Intuitively, that they had to add a lot of juice to the.
Yeah, you got a melodic interest somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Well, it's like they also have the energy and, you know, a lot of fun. And I've seen so many bands who are actually okay musically, but you watch them and it's like watching paint dry.
Mm.
You know, like
that's the energy piece. Yeah.
Yeah. That's there's a difference between being a musician and being an entertainer.
Yeah. Yes.
And
a performer.
You can work really hard as being a musician, but if you're not going to entertain, no one's going to come and see you.
Mm. Well, when I teach either vocals, I teach people a vocal performance or mm-hmm. public speaking,
yes.
You can learn all the techniques in the world about pitch and range and variation and very quiet and very loud. But if you don't commit to what you're actually saying in your heart, in other words, the secret ingredient is energy. And you watch a band that's alive on stage, that they've all brought their best game to it, and they're there, and they're going to give it something to the audience, right?
Yeah.
It's thrilling.
Verve.
But verve, vim, life, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and this is a message for you singer-songwriters out there, it's not enough to have a good song if you get on stage. You do have to communicate the feelings to them. And be an entertainer in the sense that it's all about the energy. Give it full energy.
Yeah.
I remember I was in a workshop this summer with Stephen Page. Stephen Page, you know, ex of Bare Naked Ladies.
It was a song studio thing you took, right?
He did, yeah. It was a song studio, it was called. But he was doing this song because he was being interviewed in front of us by one of the guys, right? And so he didn't have to give a performance level thing. It was like, you know, 40 of us there. Mm-hmm. He gave 125%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the energy, the commitment to the tune, the passion, everything was... He didn't hold back at all. And I was impressed with that because he didn't have to.
Yeah, he may not even know how to hold back.
Right, yeah. I don't know.
But
I felt respected.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm an audience. Sure, we're just a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Steve Page. He's going to deliver this song. Right?
Yeah.
That was great.
So we have one more song.
We have one more song. So, yes, this one I brought in. Howard Jones. I've been a fan of Howard Jones since the 80s. Mm-hmm. British singer-songwriter, plays piano. And some of my favorite songs are Howard Jones songs. And this is interesting because he is a perfectly capable singer.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear it in the chorus of this song. But the verses are speak singing. And then in the chorus, he goes full melodic.
What's it called?
Singing. The song is called Bounce Right Back.
Mm. Shall we have a listen?
Let's take a listen.
hang loose, and the strangest thing we saw, there was a flash like a dynamite, and we fell onto the floor. And as we looked up, this weird dude stood, I guess he's standing about 4'5", with a nine shell white and a joie de vivre. His face was grinning from side to side. And more. It was down to a 9-to-5 grind. I was shuffling around to my old friend's house, a party on my mind. Oh, while I chatting as a chick, a gorilla muscle in a brace of henchmen right behind. My blood boiled out, keep your piece on my mind. And this guy will be by our side. Don't you know what he said? Well, he said, button up and tighten your lip, keep a check on what you say.
And that was Bounce Right Back by Howard Jones.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, he's great.
A lot definitely. Of lyrics in a little short period of time.
Well, yeah. And that's what I was saying before. Like, if he's got, you know, maybe that's why he decided to speak singing, because his verse was crammed full of words.
Yeah.
He's got other songs that are more ballad-like and more just kind of poppy.
Well, he's obviously got a good singing voice.
Oh, and he's got a great singing voice.
Since
a
lot of our examples were from the 80s.
Yeah.
Is talk singing like an 80s thing?
I
or
think
became
it,
popular?
I think it became popular, actually.
Yeah, it must have.
I don't
know. Well, the 80s, I mean, like, the 70s and the 80s were actually a very adventurous time in music. There was lots of people trying to do very unusual things. You had bands like Devo, Wall of Voodoo, the B-52s.
Well,
they weren't doing punk. They were really trying to push the envelopes about what normal pop was.
Yeah, for sure.
And people, well, I'm sure there's lots of people who are doing lots of stuff. It's just general music now, like the mainstream music, is actually fairly conventional.
Yeah.
It's written by three guys in Sweden.
Yeah.
Or a committee of 7 or 8 people.
I'm always surprised when we have a lot of young songwriters in here. They're not very angry.
Ah,
like I keep on saying, like what, like
where's the angst?
You know, like you should be like doing music that scares the crap out of anyone who's 40, and they're all like doing these nice pop things. I want to, you know, like where's the anger of saying things are screwed up? We want to change.
You know, a lot of people disparage the 80s for being cheesy and all the rest of it. But like I grew up in the 80s, but I don't listen to the really bad stuff in the 80s. I listen to the good stuff in the 80s, because there's a lot of good stuff in the 80s.
Wow, Duran Duran,
Tears for Fears, Peter Gabriel.
Oh,
like there's amazing stuff in the 80s.
I mean, there was
very
like
creative.
I mean, there's cheesy stuff in the 70s. I mean,
yeah, there's cheesy stuff in the 90s. There's cheesy stuff today.
Yeah, as I always say, like the 1976, number one and number two in North America was Disco Duck and the disco version of Beethoven's Fifth.
Right.
You know?
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Boy, I miss those days.
Well, the other song I was prepared to do today, but we didn't have time, was Justify. Is it called Justify Myself by Madonna?
Justify Your Love?
Justify My Love by Madonna. Yeah. And that was, again, Madonna's a perfectly good singer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And she decided to do this sort of spoken word thing. In the song, and then that song is 90s, if I'm not mistaken. It's somewhere
I
in the
think
90s.
So.
Early 90s, maybe.
I mean, Howard Jones almost kind of got into a rap sort of approach, you know? It's an interesting approach. Mm-hmm. I don't think this was a big hit for him, was it?
I don't think so.
No, because I'd never heard of it. I've heard like a lot of Howard Jones. He was on the radio.
Yeah, he was.
But I wasn't aware of that.
Right.
But, it was an interesting approach. He actually got a lot of words.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
fact that it was that kind of very heavy rhythmic delivery kind of made what the song was.
Yeah, and I think while we were listening here in the studio, I was pointing out what I heard was a guy going down a scale. The first verse was like, da 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 da. So you could put that on a scale, right? So
very short notes.
They're short notes.
Nothing's sustained.
He's not... You know, like the line between speaking and singing is a very fine one, right?
Yes.
There was a two notes at the end of one of the lines where he actually did sing.
Yeah, the very end of the verse, he gets more into a singing state. Yeah,
it's an interesting thing to combine the talk singing with a bit of singing.
Yeah,
as a way of.
But even the chorus of this song, there's still it's fairly wordy and there's a lot of short notes, but it's more sung.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted the contrast. I mean, I think part of the palette, and this is for our songwriters at home, think about the style of the way you deliver your song as part of the palette, because you, of course, you have the key, you have your chords and chord substitutions, you have melody, you have rhythm, and all those things. But you can start thinking of the way you vocalize when you write a song. Mm-hmm. It can be very intentional. And we talk a lot about making the first chorus very different from the verse forms. Mm-hmm. And these guys are doing that in terms of the way they deliver it vocally. Right. So it's almost a speaking, rat-a-tat-tat, staccato style, and then a bit more into legato when they get into the chorus. So you know they're different.
Yeah. Right? Yes, they definitely
are. Are we wrapping up now?
I think so, yes.
Wrap up.
Well, I think that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neal and Phil. And we'd like to thank our guest, people who talk sing.
Thank you, all of you, wherever you are.
Please send in your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. You can find the links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned here on Song Talk Radio on our resources page. Please check that out. If you are in the Toronto area, you can come to the last Songwriters Meetup for 2017, mm-hmm. Which will be
Wednesday,
December 20th,
from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club. Free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by the website and go to meetup. There's all the information's there. We would like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto for putting up with all our shenanigans and horseplay. We would like to thank Vanessa Vreeland for just being amazing at everything, because she's amazing and she keeps us on. She does so much. Yeah. We couldn't do it without her.
And there's Anthony.
And, of course, Anthony.
On the board.
On the board.
This guy doing his stuff, doing the
buttons.
All
those fade-ins and fade-outs.
But most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener.
Or even if you're not at home.
That's true, wherever you are.
Even if you're not listening.
If you were on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at...
NeilMody_.com.
You can follow Bruce.
I've decided I don't want to be followed anymore, frankly.
Okay. You've been getting a kink in your neck from looking over your shoulder all the time.
Yes. You can follow Vanessa at
Sunny_Vanessa.
And you can follow me at TheFilEmery. Please stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Keep writing.